Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas, Dr. Joseph Harold Goldstein, Yosef Chaim Bin Yitzchak. All the Nishmas we learn from should have an Aliyah. We begin the Gemara on the second line at the words Tanya. We're learning the Braitza. Tanya, Rav Yosef Ben Lisha Omer. Rav Yosef Ben Lisha tells us the following. If you see a generation where there's a lot of tzoros never coming to that generation, a lot of troubles coming to that generation, go, say, ubedok b'dayon Yisrael. It's all because the problem that the judges of Klai Yisrael are causing that terrible tzoros to come on Klai Yisrael. It's their deficits that's making this problem for Klai Yisrael. Shekol parani yishabol yolu, because any disaster that comes to the world, lo boa el bishul dayon Yisrael. The world runs based upon Klai Yisrael, and therefore, if Klai Yisrael's judges are not doing things right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world, so to say, midah keneged midah, he judges the world bad because those judges are bad. Where do we see this from? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk from Micha tells us, Shinemar, Shimu nazos, listen carefully, Roshei Beis Yaakov uketzinei Beis Yisrael, the leaders of the house of Yaakov and the captains, the ketzinei Beis Yisrael, the leaders of Klai Yisrael. Hamis Avim Mishpat, they go and they twist justice, they turn justice, the Ace Kol HaYishori Akeshu, and they likewise they make sure that anything is straight, they make crooked as well. So they do not like things to be done properly in an Erlich fashion. Bonet Zion Bidomim, they build up Zion with blood, Yushalayim, and Yushalayim Ba'avla, with wrongdoing. Roshel Bisholchad, they likewise, they take the judges, they take bribes. Yishpotu, that's how they judge, by taking bribes. The Kohaneha B'mechir Yoru, and the Kohanim, they charge, so to say, to Paskin, to give their Horah. And the Nevi'im, B'kesef Yiksomu, and the Nevi'im give their prophecies based upon who gives them money. In other words, everything is perverted, everything is based upon inappropriate bribing and money and the wrong values. But they claim, Al Hashem Yishanu V'gomer. They say, oh no, don't worry, we're with Hashem. So Gemara says, Rishoyim Heim, these people are all Rishoyim, and therefore they cause trouble for the whole world. However, El Shatolu B'tcholim B'mi Shama V'yaholam. But they say, oh no, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they don't. They don't act it properly. Therefore, Lefikach, Mida Keneged Mida, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim, Shalosh Paranios. Because of these three sins that they did, as Rashi explains, they were, the judges were taking shochad, the priests were taking money to issue these incorrect rulings, and the Nevi'im were taking money to go and give their prophecies. Their prophecies were for sale, so to say. So, keneged shalosh averos should be other because of these three sins, shenema lachem biglachem, therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out because of these sins, Tzion sod techoresh, there would be three punishments. Tzion will never be destroyed, it will be plowed through. Yushalayim entn, Yushalayim will be turned into a mountain of ruins. And the Harabayis, Labomus Yar, and the Harabayis, the higher elevated points, will become a high point in a forest. In other words, it won't have any more Kedusha to it. Harabayis, Labomus Yar, be just like the high places in the mountains, in the forest. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mashrish Shechinos HaYisrael. Likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu no longer dwell with Klai Yisrael. His Shechina will not be part of Klai Yisrael until Ad Sheichlu Shovtim Bishotrim Royim Yisrael, until these false judges and policemen and officers, these wicked people will be taken away from Klai Yisrael. As the pasuk says, this week's Haftorah, this is Parshas Chazon, this is the right time of the year for us to be learning this Gemara. Shneimer, it says in Parshas, in Haftorah of Chazon, V'yoshiva yodi olayich, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will turn against you, I will bring my hand against you, V'etzrov kabor sigoyich, and I will go and wipe away, I will clean up over here the impurities that you have with soap, and Vasiro Kobdiloich, and I will remove all of the tin. Bedil is tin, and I remove all of the impurities that you have from you. And this will Nebuch be what happens during the 3 weeks, what happens during the 9 days. This is the terrible destruction that will befall Klai Yisrael. Vashiva Shavtaiach Kavishonav Yotzaiach Vachilov Gomer. And then, after though, you've been punished, so then I will restore the judges the way they were originally, the advisors the way they were originally. Everything will get back to the way it was. To the way it was and the way it should be. And Omer Ula adds, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta Ela Bitztaka. He says, now the Girsa that we have is Ein Yerushalayim Nifta. On the side it says that the Girsa should be Ein Yisrael Nifta. So whether it's Yerushalayim or Yisrael, it's going to be redeemed through Tzedakah. As the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Tzion b'mishpati padet. So this is a problem, because we just said that it's not going to be redeemed except with Tzedakah, so the Girsah of Yisrael, and Yisrael nifter fits it better. So here it says, Tzion b'mishpati padet, v'shaveh b'tzedakah. And all the people will be allowed to return eventually to Yerushalayim. The galus will be over when we do Tzedakah, when we treat each other properly, and when we are kind and generous to each other and give Tzedakah. That's when the Geula will come. B'meir Yameinu. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says further, Ibotle Yehire Botle Amgushe. If and when these people that are Yehorim, they're arrogant. Rashi says Yisrael Misyarim Beblores. They wear these haircuts, they wear these mohawk type haircuts, Babushe Yehiras, they wear this fancy clothing. So when these type of people go away, so then the Amgushe will also go away. Rashi says, Yibatlu Mesisim Medichim, all the people that cause Klai Yisrael trouble. Hamasnim Osano, they cause the enemies to hate us. They cause our enemies to think little of us. So all those people that were Mesiach Mediach, they instigate against us. So when the arrogant people go away, then these instigators will go away as well. And Ibatle Dayani, and if the bad judges go away as well, so then Batle Gazir Pati, then the Gazir Pati will go away as well. What are the Gazir Pati? Rashi explains, these are the Nogse Shotre of the Kohav. These are like the strong officers of the courts of the wicked people. So they have their strong armed people doing bad things. So these people will go away. When the bad judges go away, so these bad guys will go away as well. Ibotli, Yihire, Ibotli, Amgushe, we dashing this further. How do we know this? This is the pasuk that we just said. Ve'etzrov kabor sigoich. I will clean up the mess over here that you have with soap. And I will get rid of the bidilayach, and I'll get rid of all the impurities, the tin from your silver and copper. Ibotli, Dayani, Ibotli, Gazer, Pite. So if the bad judges go away, then these strong-armed bad officers of the court will go away. Tichsiv, Heisir Hashem Mishpotayach. When Hashem rules these bad judges, so then the enemy will be turned away as well. On Rabbi Malai, Mishum Rabbi Elozer Rabbi Shimon, have a couple statements in the name of Rabbi Malai. So Rabbi Malai says the name of Elozer Shimon. Might say, what is it possibly when it says from Yeshaya, Shover Hashem Mate Rishoyim Shevet Moslem? Hashem has broken the rod of the wicked people, the rod of these rulers, the staff, the rod over here of these rulers will be broken. What does that mean? Shavar Hashem Matri Yishayim. It means that Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy the stick of these wicked people. Ilu HaDayonim Shenasu Makel L'Chazuneim. These are the judges that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to destroy. He's going to break them. They have their stick in the hands. That's their Chazuneim. Those are the strong-armed people, the officers that carry out their evil decrees. Shevet Moshe, what's that a reference to? Ilu Tamidei Chachamim Shebimishchos HaDayonim. These are the Tamidei that allowed these wicked judges to get into place. They did it for improper reasons. They allowed these families to get positions that they shouldn't have deserved. And the Talmidei Chacham held accountable for allowing that to happen. Mazrucho Amar, Eilu Talmidei Chacham Mishmolandim Hilchos Tzibur L'dayonim Bor. Marzutra says this is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim that taught these judges but didn't teach them properly. They taught them how to be judges in certain ways. Hilchot Sibur, however, they didn't teach them all the dinim, and therefore they caused terrible travesties of justice because they didn't know what to do. As Rashi says, Shebahavtochas also Talmidei Chachamim, because they, Talmidei Chachamim, put them up, Madmidim, Dayanei Bor, they put up these inappropriate judges, these ignoramus judges, Lodun, is called Abba, to judge anybody who came. The Hirba Dinim Shainim Lochem Behen, and they judged many things that weren't proper, Umatim also, and they perverted justice, so therefore the Talmidei Chachamim held accountable. Omer Eliezer Ben Milai, Mishum Rish Lakish, here we have Rabbi Elazar, who's the son of Rabbi Milai, said the name of Rish Lakish. My dipsiv, what does this pasuk from Yeshaya mean when it says ki kapechem negoal b'dam? Your hands are all dirty with blood. That's bosam b'avon, and your fingers are filled with iniquity. In other words, your hands and your fingers are filled with bad things. Furthermore, the pasuk says sifsosechem divru sheker. Your lips, they spoke words of lies. The shonchem avlo sege, and your mouth spoke bad things. It spoke avlo. It spoke iniquity. Rishus. So Gemara says, let's dash in each of these words. Ki kapechem negoalu bedam. When your hands are filled with blood, that refers to elu hadayonim. These are the judges that were terrible judges. And they twisted the din, and they caused a lot of death to occur. What does that mean? Your fingers will be filled with iniquity. So Elu Sofri Adiyarim, these are the scribes of the judges that wrote down all these false laws and false decrees that the judges put out. Your lips, they spoke falsehood. Elu Orche Hadayonim, these are the lawyers. These are the people that allowed this iniquity to occur by falsely making claims. And Lashonchem Avu Sege, and your tongues, they will say bad things. Elu Bali Dinim. These are the litigants that spoke falsely about their other party that they were in litigation against. Rashi explains that the lawyers would tell the people the wrong things to say. Melamdin is Bali Dinim Liton. They would teach them how to say this and how to say that in order that they should win their case when they didn't deserve to win the case. Amar Rabbi Melai, we have another statement that Rabbi Melai said, Mishum Rabbi Yitzchok Migdula. He said this in the name of Yitzchok Migdula. What did he say? He said, Miyom Sheperish Yosef Miyachov Lo Tom Tam Yai. He said, when Yosef and the brothers were separated, Yosef was sold down to slavery in Mitzrayim. So from that day onward, Yosef Atzadik said, I'm not going to drink any wine. Dechsev, Ulukod Kod, Nizir Echov. The Rosh, the head of the Galus, Yosef, was the viceroy of Mitzrayim. So he says, I'm going to separate from my wine because from the time that my brother sold me. This Lashon of Nazir implies not drinking wine. Then we have Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Omar, a different pasuk that says a similar idea by the brothers. Avhein lo tamu tam yai. He says that the brothers, after they sold Yosef, felt terrible, and they also they stayed away from wine. They'll say, Vayishtu Vayishkiru Imo, that when they finally met up with Yosef and they were drinking with him, only then did they drink. Vayishtu Vayishkiru Imo. At that point, they drank. Miklal, until that point, I did not lo. They didn't drink. In other words, Havishichrus. They're actually incorrect, so they're in parentheses over here. As we'll see, the next statement of the Idach, what did Rav Melai do with this statement? Why didn't he hold that the brothers also didn't drink? Because he dashed in this pasuk, Shechrus hu delohava. He only said that the brothers didn't do Shechrus. It says, Vayishtu vayishku imo, only now that they become Shikr. Before then, they didn't become Shikr. However, Shesiyah miyahava, but they did drink wine, they just didn't drink it to the extent that they became drunk. Finally, the last statement from Rabbi Lai said, "Bischar, because of the reward, the roach of a samach belibo." When Aaron was reconnected with Moshe Rabbeinu, after Moshe Rabbeinu comes back, so it says that Aaron was very happy to see Moshe. Now, Aaron had been the leader of Chai Yisrael, some say for 40 years, some say for 60 years, while Moshe Rabbeinu was away. Moshe Rabbeinu left either when he was the age of 20, or when he was the age of 40, and he comes back at the age of 80. So one would have thought that Aaron might be a little bit upset, at least in his heart, and he wouldn't be happy to suddenly have to give up his leadership of Chai Yisrael to his younger brother. And nevertheless, the pasuk testifies, "V'roachah v'samach b'lo." Aaron was happy in his heart. Zocha l'choshen mishpat alibo, because Aaron was happy in his heart. He truly was happy that Moshe Rabbeinu was back. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the choshen mishpat, the urim v'tumim, to wear upon his heart the big day kahuna. Now we have three statements that were sent to Levi from the Bnei Bashkar. The Bnei Bashkar were certain people that were not Tamidei Chacham, they were Amoratzim, and they sent Levi three questions, and the answer that was subsequently given was specific for the Bnei Bashkar being not Tamidei Chacham. So let's see what the story is. Shochale Bnei Bashkar Lelevi. The people who lived in Bashkar, actually is the name of a place, and they were Amoratzim over there, they sent to Levi the following three shilas. Kilo Mahu. Are you allowed to use this kilo, this canopy? That's what we discussed yesterday, Shia. Are you allowed to use this canopy on Shabbos? Can you put it up on Shabbos? That was question number one. Then they said, Kishusa, if you have hops and you want to put them and plant them, Becharma, in a vineyard, is that Kilayim? Mao, is that Kilayim or not? And the third question they asked is, Mace B'yantiv, if a person ever passes away on Yantiv, are you allowed to bury him? Mao, what's the halacha in regard to burying a person on Yantiv? These are the three questions that they asked Levi, and by the time the question unfortunately came to Levi, Ad Ozel Noch Navshi the Levi. When the question finally came to Levi, Levi had already passed away. They had to travel to get there, and Nebuch Levi had passed away. So instead, Amar Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, Shmuel said to Rav Menashe, if you're smart enough, you answer the questions for them. So the Gemara now relates the answers that he gave. Shalachlu, the first question that they asked him, are we allowed to use these canopies on Shabbos, this kilo? So he told them, Chazarnu, we looked and looked and looked, al kol tzidei, on all the different aspects of kilo, and velo matzinu lo tzad hetu. Sorry, I can't find any hetu for you to put up this kilo on Shabbos. Gemara says, really? Why didn't he tell them? Why didn't he tell them what we learned yesterday? That said, if it has drawstrings on it, then either it's already up a tefach, or the drawstrings make it like it's up a tefach, and therefore you're allowed to extend it. So why didn't he tell them this kula? So the Gemara says, and this will be the theme of the answers, Lafi She'enam B'nei Torah, because these people were not Tamidei Chacham. And if you gave them a kula over here, they wouldn't understand that it only applied in this situation. And once they were allowed to put up a kila, albeit only in the way that Rabbi Vayechaskel said, they would start putting up the kila all the time. They would put up all the canopies. They would do all sorts of other incorrect things. So therefore, Rav Menashe told them, nope, sorry, there's no way to do this. Why? Lafi She'enam B'nei Torah, because they were unfortunately not Tamidei Chacham, and they would, as a result, not be able to understand the kula and would extend it inappropriately. Then they ask the second question, Kishusa Bekarma Irbuva. So they asked Vinasha, can we plant the hops over here in the vineyard? And he said, no, it's Kilayim. Kishusa Bekarma is Irbuva. It's Kilayim. Gemara says, why didn't he give them the teretz that Rabbi Tarfon said that you can do this? Lishlach Lu, Kid Rabbi Tarfon. Why didn't he tell them what Rabbi Tarfon said? The Tanya, we learned Rabbi Tarfon said, Kishus, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, in regards to these hops in the vineyard, he said, Ain Kilayim Bekarim. He says, it's not considered Kilayim Bekarim. No, the Chacham Romi Kilayim Bekarim. The Chacham say that is Kilayim, but Rabbi Tarfon's opinion was that it's not called Kilayim because he doesn't consider it to be a vegetable. He considers it to be a tree, and therefore, ain Kilayim Bekarim. It's not considered Kilayim in that situation. So Rabbi Tarfon says it's not Kilayim. So why didn't he tell him the Terence from Rabbi Tarfon? They were looking for a Kula, so why didn't he give him this Kula to hold like Rabbi Tarfon? And the reason why we should pass like Rabbi Tarfon, because V'kayim alon kol meikol be'eretz halach kimosu b'chutz la'aretz, because this machlokus in Eretz Yisrael in terms of Kilayim, so in Eretz Yisrael you could be machmir, but the din is that if there's a meikol opinion in chutz la'aretz, you're allowed to take into account that make an opinion in regards to Kilayim. And Bashkar was in Chutz Laretz. So why didn't he tell them that Loch is like Rabbi Tarfon in Chutz Laretz and you are allowed to plant this hops, this kishusa in your vineyard? So again, the same teretz as before. The word says, Lafi She'enam B'nei Torah, because they wouldn't understand, they would not tell me Dechachamim, and they would have a travesty of justice, because once they were allowed to do this, they would also do other things that were not a machlokas, and therefore, Rabbi Tarfon's kula, so to say, he was afraid. Rabbi Nashi says, I'm afraid to give it to them, and therefore he told him, sorry, you're not allowed to do this. Gemara tells us not everybody agreed with this opinion. Machris Rav. Rav said, Haiman deboy le mizra kishusa bekarma lizra. Rav said, no, you are allowed to do this. Rav said that if you want to plant the kishusa, these hops, in the vineyard, it's perfectly hetter to do so. Rav Amram Chasida, man gidi lovi. However, Rav Amram Chasida will give malchus to anybody who did this. And Rav Misharsha, yov le pruta latinok nochri vizorle. Rav Misharsha had someone of a compromised position. He wouldn't do it himself, but he would give a penny to a tinok, a goyisha tinok, to go and plant it for him. So Gemara asked two questions. Litin le latinok Yisrael, why did we give it bedavka to a goyisha child? Why didn't you give the Jewish child to do this? So Gemara says, osil misrach, because then this Jewish child will come to do it when he's an adult. When he's bar mitzvah, he'll do the same thing. And Rav Misharsha felt that that was incorrect. So therefore, it would lead to misrach, it would lead to him doing inappropriate things when he was an adult. So Gemara says, okay, v'litin le legolden ochri. So why do you give it to a goyish child? Because you give it to a goyish adult. Gemara says, osi liyachluf maybe Yisrael. Because if you gave it to a goyish adult, you're not going to see anything different. You may come the next time to give it to a Yiddish adult to go and plant it, which Rav Misharsha felt was wrong. In any event, that was the second teretz that Rav Menashe gave to the Bnei Bashkar. The third question that they asked him was, what about a mace on Yontif? So he responded, mace, in regards to, are you allowed to bury on Yontif? Shalach Lu, he sent to the Bnei Bashkar, mace, lo yis asku be, lo yudoin, lo armoin. Nobody should go and deal with this mace on Yontif. Never, you have to wait till after Yontif is over to bury the person, not a Jewish person, nor a non-Jewish person. And this is true, lo b'yom to Risham, lo b'yom to Sheni. As I said, Bnei Bashkar lived in Chutz La'aretz, so they had Yontif Sheni. So he says, you can't do this burial, not on Yontif Risham, nor on Yontif Sheni. Now, that's what he sent to the Bnei Bashkar. The Gemara says, really? Ini? Bo'amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Shila, Tz'amar Rabbi Yasi. Yehuda bar Shila said in the name of Asi that you are allowed to go and bury on Yontif. And Maisa Shahaya, Uvdahava Bebek Nishta de Ma'on, there once was Nebuch Maisa that somebody passed away in the Beis Knesset of Ma'on, and it was on Yontif HaSomach LeShabbos, and it was a Yontif that was next to Shabbos, and we turn to the Omid Beis. Gemara says, but he didn't remember the exact scenario. V'loyadane, he didn't remember Emil Afonel was Yontif on Friday next to Shabbos, Emil Achreo was Yontif on Sunday next to Shabbos. And in any event, for also the Kaimi of Yochanan, this person passed away, and they went to Rabbi Yochanan to ask him what to do. He told the people, "Yes, asku be'amamam. You're allowed to go get the non-Jewish people, go and bury him." So why didn't Rabbi Nashe tell the Bnei Bashkar this heter? Rabbi said, furthermore, mace, b'yom tov rishon, yes, asku be'amamam. That Rava Paskin that if Nebuch, a person dies on the first day of Yontif, and Chutz Laaretz is 2 days of Yontif, so he dies on the first day of Yontif, it's really Yontif, so then Yidden shouldn't bury him, but you're allowed to have Goyim help you bury the mace. But Yontif Sheni, if it's the second day of Yontif Sheni Shogolius, Yisaskel Bo Yisrael, even Jews are allowed to go and bury that person on the second day of Yontif. And this is true not only for the regular Yontif Sheni Shogolius, but if you look at Yontif Sheni Shol Rosh Hashanah, even on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, where the second day is different than Yontif Sheni Shogolius. Yontif Sheni Shogolius is a suffix, whether it's really Yontif or not, and Minhag HaVasein of Yedei, and we know it's really not, but we follow the same ideas that was in the days when they really didn't have the shluchim get to them in time, so they didn't know today Yontif or tomorrow Yontif. Today we know we have the calendars. Nevertheless, we follow that. But Rosh Hashanah really was Kiddush HaRichta. It was a very long day. We mentioned this many times. So it's like a one single 48-hour day. So therefore, in regards to other dinim, Mash Ein Kein BeBeitza, for example, where Beitza Shanol to be Yontif, so you're not allowed to have it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But here, you are allowed to bury on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So why didn't Rav Menashe tell the Bnei Bashkar this din? Shmuel says, Lefi she'enon b'nei Torah. Because again, they weren't Tamidei Chachamim. Once you let them go and bury with Jewish people on the second day of Yontif, all of a sudden, the second day of Yontif is going to take on a tremendous unimportance in their eyes, and they're going to do all sorts of things. This teretz is brought down by Rav Moshe Feinstein's at Sal, why we do not in our communities. There are some communities that do bury on the second day of Yontif, especially in the Hasidic communities. They do bury on the second day of Yontif, in Chutz La'aretz, Yontif Sheni Shogolios, and they have the right to do so, because that is technically the din. However, Moshe Feinstein in the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Zatzal brings down that we don't do this for three reasons. Number one is we're like the Bnei Bashkar, that we're not Tamidei Chachamim, and Nebuch, this is so true. If you allow people to do all sorts of chilus, Yontif Sheni Shogolios, it's going to lead to desecration of Yontif Sheni Shogolios. So therefore, Rav Moshe says that's one of the reasons why we don't do this. He brings down two other reasons as well. Today we have refrigeration, so there's not going to be any zilzul lemeis. The morgues are refrigerated, so therefore you're not going to have zilzul mace. The mace won't decay and spoil in the hot Mediterranean sun. Today we have refrigeration, and third reason that he gives is that it's going to lead to a lot of takolos. Even if they do this properly, they're going to do all sorts of other isurim, and that is a problem, since the people aren't going to listen to the Tamidei Chachamim, and therefore it's going to lead to takolos. So therefore, it's better not to bury on Yontif Sheni Shogolios, which is the psak that we follow in our communities. Tumar continues and says, Amar Rabbi Ovin by Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, he said the following, Mis atef odom bekila ubechas kesela. A person is allowed to put a canopy around this kila, he can wear it as a cloak of some sort, even though it has the drawstrings on it. It's not a problem of carrying the drawstrings. V'yotzei l'rishus harabim b'shabbos v'eino choshes. If he would go into rishus harabim on Shabbos wearing this garment, because he's wearing the garment, and the strings, which serve no purpose in this canopy when it's worn as a cloak, they serve a purpose when it's put up as a canopy, but here, since you're wearing it as a cloak, even though those drawstrings serve no purpose, you're allowed to go wear them, even in Rishus HaRabim, it's not a problem of carrying. Where it says, how come? Maish Noam Rav Huna. Why do you, Rav Ovin bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya, say you're allowed to wear this and the strings aren't a problem, they're not something that's being carried, but Rav Huna said, if a person goes out and he wears a talis that is not having the tzitzis on it properly, and he wears that on Shabbos in a public area, that's an issa d'oraisa. Rashi explains, if it had no tzitzis on it whatsoever, then it wouldn't be a problem. He's wearing a garment that doesn't have tzitzis on it. He's over for that, but he's not over for carrying it because this is a garment, and you're allowed to wear a garment on Shabbos. It's not called carrying if you wear a garment on Shabbos. Amo, therefore, what do you see? Hatzitzios have no masoi, unless they're proper tzitzis, so then the tzitzis are considered something that you're carrying. Hove, einon kimitzoso, if they're not put on properly. So let's say it only has three corners have the tzitzis, and the fourth corner doesn't have tzitzis. So therefore, the tzitzis are not serving any purpose in this situation, and therefore, you're considered carrying the tzitzis. Halach l'maisa, if people wear a talis katan that is too small, it's not a kosher talis katan, so then it's called carrying, because that's not levisha. You're not wearing that. You're putting that on for the purpose of being a talis katan. And if it's not a right size of a talis katan, so then it's not a garment, and it's not talis katan, so therefore you're over for carrying it. So to over here, if it doesn't have the proper tzitzis on it, so the tzitzis that you do have on it are not doing anything, and therefore you're carrying them. So therefore, why would the kila are the tzitzis, the kaskasela, not the real tzitzis, but the strings that are on this kila, that's not a problem of carrying. But the tzitzis on a garment, if the tzitzis aren't put on correctly, that is a problem of carrying. That's the question. So where it gives a teretz, you might have thought of on your own, tzitzis legabe talis chashivi, because those tzitzis that you have there are chashiv. You don't want them to be bato. You have, let's say, three of the corners have tzitzis. You're waiting to get the fourth corner to have tzitzis on it. No, meanwhile, you go out with a garment. So you don't want those tzitzis to be batel, and therefore those tzitzis are not batel to the garment, and therefore you're carrying them. However, there, the tzitzis, legavi talis chashive, below batli. They're not going to be considered subordinate, and they're not going to be considered batel to the garment. However, these kaskasel, these strings, these drawstrings that are on the kila, they serve no purpose whatsoever. So you don't really care if you're there. Therefore, hani lo chashivi, they're not considered significant at all, or batle, and they are considered subordinate and considered not something that you're actually carrying. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabba Bar Avuna. Rabba Bar Avuna tells us the following. Marim Odom, a person is allowed to do a trick and say he's setting up the mishameres, which you're not allowed to use, for the mishameres purposes, you're not allowed to set it up l'chatchila. So he says the person can do this trick. Ma'arim odom ala mishameres biyontiv litlos ba rimonim. He's putting it up not to strain. He's saying, I'm putting it up over here to hold my rimonim. That you're allowed to do because rimonim are going on the top. It's not serving as an ohel in this situation. And therefore, once you have this up for the rimonim, v'tola bo shmarim, then you can go pour the shmarim into it. We said it's not a problem of straining on yontif, it's ochel nefesh. The problem would be making an ohel, but here you didn't make an ohel because you put the pomegranates on the top, and that was allowed, and therefore this was a trick that you were marim, and you're allowed to do this harama. Amar Rashi, Rashi qualifies this, and he says, however, v'hu, v'tola bo rimonim, but you actually have to put the pomegranates on the top. You can't just say, I'm doing it for the pomegranates and not do it. So if you put this up, and then you put pomegranates on the top, then you'll have to go subsequently and strain your wine through it. So Mari asks, Maishno meha detanya, how come over here we say you must use the pomegranates? If you don't use the pomegranates, then this haroma doesn't work. Whereas in the following braisa, we said that you could do the haroma, and even though you didn't do the actual thing that you were doing the harama for, it's still okay. What is that? The Brisa says as follows. The Tanya. Matilin sheichor b'moed l'tzorah chamoed. You're allowed to go and make beer. Now, moed here means a cholamoid, Rashi tells us. So you're allowed to make beer on cholamoid, l'tzorah chamoed, as long as you are making this beer for yontif. So on cholamoid, you're allowed to make it for cholamoid, obviously, or for yontif usage. However, shalol l'tzorah chamoed, but if you're not making it for yontif usage, then also you're not allowed to go make beer on cholamoid for usage after yontif is over. That you can't do. And this is true, he says, it doesn't make a difference what type of beer it is. Echad sheichar tmarim, whether this is date beer, or echad sheichar sarim, whether this is hops, whether this is barley beer. Both of them you're not allowed to do on cholamoid if you're not doing it for yontif. Now, this, you're allowed to do this, to do it for yontif, afal pi sheish lem yoshen, even though you have plenty of beer. So you have beer, you technically don't need to do this because you have enough beer for yontif, and your whole purpose is to make this beer for after yontif. You are allowed to do this as a harama. Marim, you're allowed to go and make the beer on cholamoid, v'shosa min achodesh, as long as you drink some of this new beer on yontif. So even though you didn't have to do this because you had plenty of old beer, the bottom line is you made this beer on cholamoid, and this way you'll have beer after yontif because you can save the beer that you had already, and you'll save that for after yontif. This is allowed. This haram is allowed. Marim v'shosa min achodesh. You're allowed to go and do this. Now, at the time that you're making the beer, you haven't used it yet on yontif. So we don't have a clear demonstration, like with the case of the pomegranates. So you don't have to put the pomegranates on it right away. Here, you don't drink the beer right away. So how come here we allow you to do this, but by the pomegranates we said, v'hu d'tol about rimonim? That's the kasha. Shmuel says, hasam l'mucha milsa, because in the case of the beer, it's not clear that you're using it for after yontif purposes. You're making beer on cholamoid. You're allowed to make beer on cholamoid because you're allowed to make beer on cholamoid, to drink on cholamoid or on yontif. That's allowed. So it's not clear that you're doing it for after yontif. Who knows that you have in your house plenty of old beer that would have been sufficient for yontif. However, here, by putting up this mishameres, hocha, mucha, milsa, you're putting it up. It's normally used as a mishameres. So here, unless you put the pomegranates on it right away, it's not clear that you're doing it for the pomegranates. It looks like you're doing it to strain the wine. And therefore, by the pomegranates, when you're putting up the mishameres, you must put the pomegranates on it right now. By the beer, it's not clear that you're not doing it for yontif. So therefore, when you're making the beer on cholamoid, it's potentially clear to everybody that you're using it for Chol HaMoed for Yontif, and therefore you don't have to bedafka do it right now and drink it right now. You just have to drink some of it on Yontif, and that would be fine after the fact. Another case of a Rama, Amrili Rabban Ravashi, Rabban said to Ravashi, Chazi Mar, look over here and see this high tzuvim Rabbanon. The Rav Huna ben Rebbe Chayun Shmei. Look at this Talmud Chacham. His name was Rav Huna ben Rebbe Chayun, and he did the following. Others say Varmelei Rav Huna ben Rebbe Chalvon Shmei. His name was Rav Huna, the son of Rav Chalvon. Whoever it was, his father was Rav Chayun, or his father was Rav Chalvon. The Shokal Brah de Tuma. He took a piece of a tuma. Tuma is shum, is garlic. Umanach bebarzo de dana, and he plugged up a hole in a barrel of wine. They had a barzo as a spigot, and there was leaking the wine, so he plugged it up and he put this shum, this garlic, this tuma inside this hole, and he said, "V'amar liatznuye komekavne." I put it over there not to plug up the hole, which would be fixing the barrel, which isn't allowed on Yontif, but instead he said, "I'm just storing over here my garlic, and this is a good place for me to store my garlic, and I'm not doing any iser. I'm not being misakin mana." So this harama was allowed to be done by the Sturvin of Rabbanim, by his Talmud Chacham. Likewise, another time, the Ozul Hinoam, he went and he slept b'mabra on some sort of a ferry. Mabra is to cross over from one side of the river to the other. They had these certain boats, so they were little ferries. V'arva lahach gisa, he fell asleep on the boat. It was Shabbos. He wasn't allowed to go on this boat. And he went to sleep on this boat, and the boat went to the other side. V'arva lahach gisa, went to the other side of the river. V'sayer peri. Now he wakes up over there, and he goes and checks out his fruit that he has on the other side of the river. And he said, no problem. Why was I allowed to do this? V'amar anan l'meinam komekabna. I went to sleep over here. The fact that the boat is going, that's not my problem. I didn't go officially to cross to the other side and see how my fruits are doing. So this Talmud did these two things. So Ravashi says, Amalahu, Ravashi says to the Talmidim, because these students said to Ravashi, how could he do this? They said, Chazi Mar, Haitzur Ravana, look what he's doing. So he told them, no, he's okay. Haramu Karmas, what's your problem over here? That he put this, the shum inside the spigot and the barrel that was leaking, and he said, I'm putting it there to hide it. Or he fell asleep on the boat. So the boat then went to the other side. He says, I was just intending to sleep. So harama, these are haramas, these are tricks that he's doing. Harama b'dirabanan hi. These are only haramas by dinim d'rabanan. And v'tzuvim b'dirabanan lo'asi l'mevel l'chachila. There's no concern that he would do this l'chachila. So therefore, this harama is allowed in this situation. As Rashi explains here, ha harama la b'yisur d'raisu. This trick wasn't in the situation of an isur d'raisu. El b'yisur d'rabanan. It was only by yisur d'rabanan. The Nami Ovid Mamish. Let's say he'd actually gone and plugged up the spigot of the barrel. He'd actually gone on the boat without sleeping to go to the other side. Below Harama. So Adirabadan Hudyovar. He only would have been over the Rabbanan. And Hilkach, therefore, Kivan the Tsurvi Rabbanhu, since he's a Talmud Chacham, Lo Achmirole, the rabbis never instituted that you're not allowed to do Harama in this situation of a Din Rabbanan. Do Lo Asil and Nevad Lechatchila Leheja, because he's never going to go and do this without a Harama. Below Harama, Lavor Shom Lifnei Hakol. He would never do this publicly and do this Isser. So therefore, this Harama is allowed to be done by a Tzurvim and Rabbanan in this situation when the only worst case potential is that it would be over in Isser Rabbanan. We weren't choshish that the Talmud Chacham would do this. Okay. Next Mishnah. Nost in Mayim Agabi Yeshmarim Bishul Sheyitzolu. You're allowed to go and pour water over these Shmarim, over these dregs, Bishul Sheyitzolu, in order that the dregs will become clear. In other words, you'll get any last bits of wine out of these dregs. The reason why you're allowed to do this is because there's no issue in pouring water through the mishameris over here that has the dregs inside of it, because the water is perfectly pure already. And therefore, if it extracts any of the wine taste that's left in the dregs, that's not a problem. Likewise, you're allowed to go and strain wine that's potable, drinkable wine through these cloths, sudarim, ubechvivo mitzvahs, or through these wicker baskets, this is also permissible. The simple understanding is because this wine is drinkable the way it is, so you're not really improving it, and therefore we're doing it with a sheen, or you're doing it through this cloth, or through these wicker baskets, is allowed. Finally, the Mishnah states, v'nosin beitza b'masanei shulchadol, you likewise can put a egg through this strainer of the chadol, which we discussed in previous shiurim, and here the egg is going through. You're allowed to use the egg through the misanenah shel chadol.
The Mishnah continues and says, "Va'osin inumlin b'Shabbos." You're allowed to make this drink called inumlin. The Gemara will tell us exactly what this is. Rehuda qualifies this and he says, "B'Shabbos on Shabbos, you're allowed to make this inumlin only the amount for a kos, a single cup. B'Yom Tov b'Login. On Yom Tov, you can make more. You can make a login's worth." Rashi says this login is godol mikos v'kot mikhoves. It's bigger than a cup, but it's more than a barrel because on Chol HaMoed b'Moed mikhoves, you'll have to make a barrel's worth of this inumlin. Rav Tzadik Omer, everybody's different. Hakol v'yachim, it all depends how many guests you have. If you have a lot of guests, you can make more even on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, and on Chol HaMoed, depending on how many guests you have. That's how much you're allowed to go and make. Mor starts off and says, Amar Ziri Ziri says, No sin odam yayin solul umayim solul l'socha mishameris. You're allowed to put clear wine or clear water through this strainer, this mishameris, on Shabbos, v'nechoshis, and there's no concern. However, avo lachurim lo, but if it's muddy, if it's not a clear wine, so then you're not allowed to go put it through the strainer. That would be a problem of either borer or marakate. More questions this. Meisvei, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Torad, Rashi explains, Torad means ma'arvev, you can mix together, odam chavish yayin, yena ushmarah, you'll have to go mix the wine with its dregs. V'nosin l'socha mishameres b'Shabbos, and you can put it through a strainer on Shabbos, v'nechoshis, and there is no concern. So here it says you're allowed to go put the wine through a strainer on Shabbos. Why did Ziri say yena? Ziri is an Amori, you can't go against the Brice. Shmuel says, Tirguma Ziri, no, Ziri would explain, Beinagito shano, it depends. During the time of the gitos, when they would go and press the wine, so Rashi says, Shekola yenos achurim, all the wine then is somewhat muddy, somewhat murky. Vishosin osam bishmorem, and everybody drinks that wine from the wine press with its dregs. Hilkach en kan tikken de belav hochi mishlase. Therefore, when you go and put it through a strainer, you're not really improving it because people will drink it that way anyway. So the beinagitos is not a concern. As I said, people are used to drinking this muddy type of wine, this unclear wine, and therefore straining it doesn't really improve it. But when it's not the Beinagitos, and people are used to having much clearer wine, so then you wouldn't be allowed to put it into the strainer. That's how you reconcile this seeming steerer between Ziri and the Brisa. Then we said in the Mishnah, Mesanin and Sayayim Besudarit, but you are allowed to strain the wine in the Shinudik away using cloths, or we said using the wicker basket. Amar Shimi Barchiya, Shimi Barchiya explained, Vuvad Shal Yasaguma, but when you're putting the wine into this cloth, you can't have the wine going into a depression in the cloth. You can't make the cloth have a hollowed out area that you're pouring the wine into. It's not a problem if that happens on its own after you're pouring in the wine, but you can't have a hollowed out area beforehand, as Rashi explains. Either because it's uvda dechol, it looks like the weekday way of doing it, inami, osil deschita, or you're going to come and squeeze it in this situation, which would be a problem. The Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah, ubechvivas mitzvahs. We said that this wicker type basket made of these twigs that are intertwined together, and it's working somewhat as a sieve. So in this situation, this kvifa mitzvahs, amar v'chia bar ashi amar rav, v'chia bar ashi nim rav, you're only allowed to use this. You have to make sure that you don't lift it up more than a tefach from the bottom of the container that you're pouring it into, and goes from the bottom of this wicker basket into the container. The reason behind this, Rashi explains, because you'll be making it into an ohel in this situation. You're not allowed to make it into this temporary ohel. Amar Rav. Rav says similarly, hi parvonka. What's this parvonka? Rashi says, this is a beged sheshotkin al gigis yayin l'chasosa. This is some sort of a cloth that you put over the barrel of wine to keep it covered. Likewise, al palge de kuba shor, you can put it over half of the barrel, that's allowed. Akule kuba is also, but to put it over the entire barrel is not allowed because that would be an ohel. And you're not allowed to make this ohel. Amar Papa, lo niadak inish tziniyosa bepume de kuzne de chavisa. A person shouldn't put lots of Tziniyisa is like straw or little pieces of wood. And this kozne de chavisa, Rashi says, is some sort of an earthenware container, klicheris katan, that normally you shema'arim bo yayim echavis, and you pour wine from the barrel into this small container. So don't fill this up, the top part, with these kashin, straw, or kasamim, little pieces of wood, and pack it in there, because otherwise this would be a strainer, and you're not allowed to go and strain. As the Gemara says, Mishum de Mechse Kimeshamerich, because it looks in this situation that you're straining it. Another halacha similar, Devei Rav Papa, in the house of Rav Papa, Shafu Shichra Mimona Lamona, they would go and pour Shichra, which is beer, from one barrel to another barrel. Amar le Rav Acha mi Divsi le Ravina, but Rav Acha from Divsi said to Ravina, Ha'ikun nitzosos. But how could they do this? You're going to have little bits at the end that are left over. When you have the pouring it out, they would pour it slowly. They would therefore make sure that they didn't get all the dregs from the bottom of the beer from one barrel into the other barrel. And this way, they would be sorting it. At the end, you can see that there's beer and dregs. At the beginning, there's only beer. It's not a problem. But at the end, they're leaving dregs behind. So how can they pour off all the last drops? So that's what Rav Acha Midivsi asked to Rava, and Ravina, and Ravina responded, Nitzotzos lebei Rav Papa lo chashivi. This little bit that's left over at the bottom, Rav Papa was a big beer merchant, and he didn't care about this little bit of beer that would be left behind, and therefore he didn't pour it off all the way, and therefore there is no problem of borer over here. Finally, we quote the Mishnah that says, "V'nosnim beitza b'mesanenes." You're allowed to put the egg into the special mesanenes shochardol, that you're allowed to go and put it into the chardol's mesanenes. So how come you're allowed to do this? So Tani Yaakov Karcher. So Yaakov Karcher learned, and he said, "L'fish einosin also ela legoven," because the whole purpose over here is to color it. You're putting in the yellow of the egg to give it a coloration over here, and not to really separate it out. And the yellow and the white are both ochel. Idividi, Rashi says, ochelu, vein kan bereiras psolis mi ochel. And you're not separating out any ochel from psolis in this situation, and you're just doing this to color it, and therefore there is no problem. Aye, what about coloring? You're not allowed to color. So in regards to food, ain't sviya ba'ochel. There is no problem of coloring by food, because that's not an av malacha. With this, we conclude today's share.